Welcome to the At Leisure Podcast. This is a show about sports, video games, movies, and just basically the things we do with our leisure time. Today we are talking movies, and I have Bryson with me once again, our Oklahoma State fan who is also a movie fan. You ready to dive into this stuff?
Hey, let's do it. I'm ready.
So if you clicked on the podcast, you already know we're talking about The Creator, which is a new independent movie, independent property, Gareth Edwards directed, and there's a good chance you haven't seen this movie. It's not doing great in the box office. So we're going to start off with a spoiler-free review to kind of get your feet wet, and then you can decide, all right, should I see this movie? Should I not? Spoiler, I think you should see this movie. I really liked it. But we'll just dive into that. Actually, let's just start with that. I like this movie. I gave it an 8.9, which might be a bit too high, I know. But I think it's due to me loving just going back to the movies. If you know me, I'm not in a movie-going situation, so anytime I get to see one, I am hyped, and I'm like, oh, I got to talk about this. So I'm sticking with the high rating, even if I know when we start talking about it, I'm going to want to knock it down.
Well, I will say I'm in the opposite situation of I'm in a great movie-going situation, and I try to go to the movies two or three times a week, and I thought the movie was okay. I gave it a 3-star rating, so I guess around a 6, and yeah, there some things I liked, some things I really didn't like, but we'll get into that more in a little bit.
Yeah, probably more when we get into the spoilers, but We can talk a little bit about maybe some of the things that gave you hiccups, why you might not recommend it. I would say part of why I loved it so much, I already hinted at it, is that it's an original IP. I just think it's so rare for us to get original independent movies right now. Everything's a sequel or a prequel or a remake. The idea that this is just an original thought, even though there's a lot of stuff that's borrowed from other things, it's often predictable. But, you know, it throws a few surprises in there. It felt fresh to me, like a fresh movie, in a way that some of these movies lately have not felt, in my opinion.
So. Yeah, I agree. It is very nice. And that was one of my biggest things going into the movie that I was excited about is, you know, Gareth Edwards, who the last two movies that he made were kind of these two, you know, kind of huge franchises and movies. And you know, now he's coming in with a whole new original idea. He's a great visual kind of storyteller. So I was really excited to see what kind of ideas that he would come up with. And some of the designs were great overall. Like a lot of the visuals were beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the atmosphere to this movie makes the movie, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Like it feels grubby and real. I think it like poses some questions that really made me uncomfortable at points. I don't know. He's just really good at like, he's a good scale. Like he directs really well with scale. It's like in Rogue One and Godzilla in this movie, big things are happening, but you feel like small on the ground, boots on the ground kind of. I love that feeling of his movies.
Yep, exactly. There's one scene later in the movie. We won't talk too much about it because spoilers, but it's one scene with some kind of like, you know, futuristic tanks and how that all goes down and how those are portrayed. It's just like you feel how just horrifying that is for those to be kind of coming in and just how ginormous those are compared to the people that are trying to take them down.
Yeah. And we're singing this movie's praises. And I think a lot of it, we're singing the praises of the visuals and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've looked into this, but like, the editing process for this movie is crazy. It only cost them $80 million to make this movie, which sounds like a lot, but if you know movies, that is a small budget for something that looks this good.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it cost more to make the Secret Invasion show than it did to make this movie. And I can tell you right now, the special effects for that show were not even close to how good this movie looked.
Not nearly comparable. And it's crazy because he has all the, this movie was all sets, just all sets. They went to location. They had small crews. They were able to do 360 angles because everything is real, you know? And it's like everything was shot on an FX3 Sony camera, which is like $4,000. Gareth Edwards was pretty much doing it himself. And then the craziest part to me is that they filmed everything, edited it all together, and then put the special effects in. And that's just, I don't know, I don't think that's happened very often, at least according to the stuff that I'm reading.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see that with, I mean, because I'm pretty sure that this is, I mean, the studio that did this is 20th Century Fox, which is owned by Disney, and you're not going to see a whole bunch of Disney movies, sci-fi movies that are like, hey, let's go shoot on scene and, you know, like, let's try to make this world feel really real. And
they've got the volume now. They don't have to go anywhere. They can just do it all in California.
So, yeah. And I mean, this is showing that, you know, if you actually are smart about how you do it and you're creative with your filmmaking, then you can make these movies for less of a budget.
There's no more scathing review of how much excess money is put into movies than watching mm-hmm. this movie. You know, you see this and you're like, you guys are burning money when you could be yep. making movies like this. Like, I'm sure it takes more effort, but even then it's like, it seems like it would be much less of a headache on your editors and your special effects team, because they would know what they were working with and there wouldn't be changes mid, I don't know, direction. So I hope we don't hear something come out and be like, oh, there was mega crunch and like the working conditions were terrible.
Yeah, but just like the whole Spider-Verse stuff.
Where we're like, this movie's amazing. And they're like, yeah, we nearly died.
Yeah, we were abused on this. Yeah. It's like, oh. Yeah, I mean, it really is incredible seeing how, I mean, what, the last Indiana Jones movie that just came out cost like $300 million something to make.
Gee whiz.
And let me tell you what. This movie looked way better than that movie.
Yeah, yeah. We're still in the spoil-free review part. I would say maybe, I guess I would say, if you like sci-fi movies and you haven't seen the commercials for this yet, which there's a good chance you haven't because there's not like a huge marketing push. But if you haven't seen them, just stay away from them, I think. Go in fresh. I think some of those commercials give a little away. There's one main point specifically that I'm thinking of that if I had not known, I think it would have hit me a little harder, would have mm-hmm. been more impactful. So try not to get spoiled going into the movie just by the commercials.
Yeah, I really think they could have only shown footage from about the first like 20 minutes of this in the trailers, and I think it would have done enough.
It would have hooked about the same. I don't think people mm-hmm. are. I don't think what makes this movie great is the part that they hooked onto in the commercials. No. I think it's like we were talking about, just the visuals and the atmosphere. And
yep, like, exactly.
You show that, I think you're going to get people invested. I also think they didn't super emphasize it, but the idea that this whole movie is kind of based around AI, and it's like, I kind of was hoping that they would be able to like, that this movie could cash in on some of the AI hype right now. I don't think it is, but it would be cool if it would. But I don't think this is a deep dive into the future of AI. It feels very fiction, very purely fiction. Mm-hmm. Especially some of the ideas it throws out, it's like that's not how things are going to go down. At least I would bet a lot on things going way different than how it's portrayed in this movie.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about this more in the spoilers, but yeah, the handling of AI in this movie is a little confusing to me, and and there's especially, you know, I'll get more into it in spoilers, but there's a lot of the writing of it and how they portrayed AI that it's interesting on the timing of it all.
Ooh, the timing. Ooh, I hadn't even thought about that, the timing of it. Well, you got anything else you want to say before we jump into spoilers? We've only got about 10 minutes in here, but you don't want to, I mean, there's not much more to say other than,
no.
Well, I guess, would you recommend, well, we'll say it at the end, but would you recommend, like, if you hadn't seen anything, would you recommend seeing this movie or?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely recommend it just for the visual aspect of it alone.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things I look for in a lot of sci-fis nowadays is show me something that I haven't seen before, you know?
Because,
uh-huh. like, I'm a big movie nerd. It's like, I'll watch all these old movies, and there's a lot of sci-fis now that kind of just do the same things as those old movies and don't try to necessarily recreate anything. But I would say there's a few things in this that I was like, man, like, this is awesome. Like, I love this. I have never, ever seen this before in a movie.
And yeah, so I would recommend
it on that.
I'm in the same boat. And if nothing else, just to support like fresh ideas,
yep.
you know, like yep. I think Gareth Edwards will get to make more movies like this because he does it so cheap. But otherwise, I think he'd be toast because people aren't seeing this movie. So, you know, yeah. And then it just reinforces all the ideas of like, hey, if this is not a established property, people aren't going to come see it. So,
yeah, first week in box office was kind of rough.
I think it made $14 million or something like that. Like, oh, my goodness.
So hopefully, you know, more people kind of go and see it. Again, like you just said, just to support original ideas, because you just know the takeaway is going to be from, you know, these major studios. Well, I guess we just can't make original movies anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. All right. Well, let's jump into spoilers, and we'll start it off with, since you're a little cooler on the movie, tell me a few things you liked about the movie.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, just overall, like the attention to detail and the the visuals of the movie. I mean, if you look, you know, in the foreground, of course, everything looks great. Everything looks beautiful. But even in the background, like, it feels like a real world. It, you know, how they kind of structured the world with the AI, and especially once you're kind of in New Asia and kind of in that whole city.
Yeah.
They go into, and that's in the second act of the movie. Just kind of seeing that and seeing, like, you know, these people kind of living life. I thought that was just great. And seeing all the smaller details in the back. And it's just, again, like, the spaces that they go through, like, it feels real.
Yeah, it feels real because it is real. What's crazy. Exactly. You know, it's like, that's so cool. Got anything else?
And then, I mean, yeah, like you said, the scale of it was great. And I thought the designs of everything. What is it the Nomad? Is that what the giant ship is called?
I think so, yeah. I kept forgetting also.
That thing is such a cool design.
It is so cool.
Like the targeting system with the lasers coming down.
Is that what that was? I kept waiting for them to explain it a little more. I was like, I think it's picking out the AI from the people.
Yeah, right? I think it was just like a targeting system kind of thing. But
I love that thing. But I will say, and one of the things I don't like about this movie is, what the heck, the scaling of that thing. I was so confused the whole movie. I'm like, how big is this?
I was
confused about how good Gareth is at making scale, but that whole time I'm like, is this thing in orbit? Is it
not? Yeah, that was one of my things. That was one of my things too. I'm like, where is this thing right now? Yeah. Like, I'm so confused.
Sometimes you see it like in the clouds, and other times you're like in space and you're looking down at it, and you're just exactly. What?
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. It's whatever. I mean, I got the gist of it, the idea of it.
Yeah, so I love the design of it as a whole, though. I think they said when they were designing it, they're trying to make it look like a bird of prey.
Ooh, I think they got that. They nailed that.
Yeah, they nailed that. I mean, just overall, like, man, the action of it, too, felt so fun at points.
Fun, yeah, or brutal, whichever
or
one.
Or brutal, yeah.
I think he said he took a lot of inspiration from, like, Vietnam movies.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tell, like, good time.
You can tell a lot. Yeah, I saw a lot of inspiration in this from, I mean, of course, those Vietnam movies, you know, Apocalypse Now kind of being a big one that I saw. There's a lot of James Cameron influence in this, lot of James Cameron. There's some Avatar, there's some, you know, how the kind of U.S. military is interacting with each other. It's like, if you've ever seen Aliens, like, that's exactly how the military, like, interacts with each other there.
A little over the top, over the top, but...
And of course, you know, the Terminator... AI nuking us, whole idea.
Yeah, I was confused by that, because the AI is like, no, we didn't do it. It was a glitch in the machine. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. That's another problem I have, is like that whole thing. It's like, I feel like that should have been like a bigger deal, but it's just kind of like glossed over.
I kind of liked it though, because it's like these characters would never know. Like, even I think the AI, the way that they portray it, I don't think any of these characters, they're all going on hearsay about this thing.
Yeah, but I don't know.
And it's like the focus was on these small group of people. It wasn't like blown out into like the bigger governments and, I don't know, the answers to these questions.
Yeah, I would have liked to sit with that a little bit more, though, because, I mean, as it mentioned, like with Josh, when, you know, he's talking about how he lost his arm and his leg in the nuclear explosion. He lost his parents in the nuclear explosion. And, you know, he blames AI for that. But then once he learns that AI didn't really do that, it's just kind of like, oh, okay.
Right. It's like, well, who told you AI did it? How did you like come to that conclusion? And you believed it for so long. And it's like those overblown soldiers, the girl, the main, I can't remember her name.
Yeah, it's just Allison James' character. That's how I remember
her. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. She was just so mad because she felt like AI, or she told a story about AI killing her son, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, that would motivate me too. I would hate AI as well. So it is muddled, but I liked that about it, where you don't really get definitive answers. It's like the AI tells you it was a glitch. We didn't actually kill the people. And I think the whole point of Josh's character is he was like spending so much time with the AI that his point of view changed to the point where when he hears that, he wants to believe it. Whereas before that, he would have never, you know, taken the AI at face value when he said, oh, we didn't blow up LA.
Right. But even then, I don't know. I see what you're definitely saying about the movie isn't trying to necessarily answer those questions or anything. But the movie definitely takes sides in the whole thing and definitely sides with the AI. And therefore, I mean, I think we're supposed to believe it. And so I don't know. It's stuff. There's a lot more with the writing in the world that I would like a little bit more fleshed out.
Yeah, it is. it definitely, you're right. It definitely takes sides with the AI because there's so much like, there's, we're getting into the stuff we don't like. I kind of want to talk about some of the stuff that we did like.
Yeah.
So what were some scenes that you liked? I loved the infiltration scene where the AI police are going after Alfie.
Yeah.
And like, he's like having to fight like 3-4 different AI at a time. And he like, the action felt so real, but also super fluid and fast. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. And it was tense too.
I liked whenever they were raiding like that compound at the start. And I don't know, I thought it was pretty good storytelling to just show them just kind of killing all these scientists, you know, and how they, I like that shot a lot of whenever they're, you know, doing it from those guys that are watching the video. And then all of a sudden you just see those guys get shot too. Of like the security guys are like watching the videos of it, you know?
Oh yeah. When they're just infiltrating into the, That's right. Yeah. When they go down into that hatch after mm-hmm. I was so glad they didn't make the American kill the puppy.
Dude,
it was like, then you push them into like the evil for evil's sake. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, okay, these guys are really just don't have like a moral compass at all, but he just threatens it. And I'm like, if he shoots this puppy, then we know who the bad guys are right off the bat.
Right.
But he doesn't shoot him. And so you can still kind of sympathize with these guys in a sense. Like, you know, they obviously take sides, but he doesn't kill the puppy. So I was like, Right. Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, I will say, like, that moment had me on the verge of tears. I was like, don't kill this puppy, please. But I'm trying to think of other scenes that I liked.
Well, we talked about it earlier a little bit, but the tank.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
When the military kind of rolled into that whole town, and I love the scenes with the bombs, like the kind of like
from
suicidal
the
bomber robots.
Oh no, dude, that was such a crazy concept where they're like, oh, it's a pleasure to serve, and then those AI are just running out like suicide bombers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, that's weird.
Which I thought, again, I thought that was another good kind of storytelling moment of just like, you know, showing truly, because, you know, at that point we've kind of learned that AI can be emotional and like we should have empathy for them, but it's just showing how much, you know, the U.S. at that time, how they did not have any empathy for them and how they just viewed them as tools only.
It goes right back to the beginning when they're fishing out, they're cleaning up the exploded zone, and they pull that one robot out of the car, and it is like screaming for the child, and it's like, oh, is he okay? Is he safe? And then he mm-hmm. just cuts the cord and kills it. And the one girl with him is like shaking up. She's like, oh my gosh, that felt so real. And he's right. Like, just programming. It's just programming.
Yep.
And it's like, you're supposed to, like, even then though, I was like, ooh, that felt really too much when he just cuts the, like, the neck cord.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What's another? Well, one thing I liked about the movie too is I actually thought that the child that played Alfie, Madeline Univoyles, I'm probably butchering that name somehow, but I thought she did a really good job.
Yeah, I thought it was well acted all the way around. You're right, for a kid performance, like, it was top notch for sure.
Yeah, but I think that's all kind of my big things that I like. So what are some other things that you liked about it?
We've kind of got into it a little bit, but I liked all the crazy concepts that it was throwing at me all the time. I kind of hinted at in the spoil-free review part of this. The AI in this movie are nothing like the AI that we'll get, because there's no point in making an AI with emotion, an AI right. with like all these kind of factors that make them just human, you know? And right. it was so much so that it was at some points I was like, I know that they're trying to, the writing was very on the nose. They're trying to get like, hey, what is a human? What is a soul? What is a person? Mm-hmm. And like, golly, I was rolling my eyes when she's like, are you going to heaven? He's like, no, only good people go to heaven. She's like, well, then I guess I'm not going to heaven either, because I'm not a human.
Right.
I'm like, okay. Okay, guys, I get it. I know. I thought one of the crazier concepts, though, that really like emphasized their point is when at some point the colonel lady pulls out that machine that can transfer your consciousness through a chip into another robot.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, they're really getting at, without even, they don't even talk about it, which I loved. They didn't even address it really, other than Josh going like, oh, you're playing God now. Because apparently that's just not a tool that they'd seen around.
Right.
She just has it. But it like emphasizes the fact that, okay, to this world, in this world, humans are basically programming as well, because you can literally transfer consciousness through computers. Mm-hmm. So what separates them from the AI that has all these emotions and have, you know, the same thing where they could be transferred into another robot, you know? Right. And so there's no differentiation there, but the Colonel is so angry, she can't see past that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she doesn't even consider it.
Right.
So that, I thought that was kind of a good subtle writing move. What else? I wish they dove into it more, but the idea of people giving their faces to scan for these AI robots.
Yeah.
At first I was like, what? No one in their right mind would ever do that. And then I think about it some more and I'm like, actually, I bet a lot of people would do that.
I would bet a ton of people would do that.
Yeah. And then just the idea of that is so weird, and how he sees his wife's face on robots.
Multiple times.
And it's like, are those robots in this world? These robots seem to have individual personalities. So is it like,
right. So what's the personality of?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And so, you know, you're thinking about that as you're walking through this world and like, oh, that's really weird. And then they get into the factory machine, the factory in Asia where they're making the robots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the robots are like alive while they're being built, and they're looking around, and the humans making the robots don't even seem to like pay attention. Like they don't care. Like they're just at work.
Yep.
You know? And it's just like so odd. Like it's just a really, I don't know. It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But in like a way of like, oh, what is this place?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, another thing I liked is I did like his friend. I'm trying to think of his name. It's the Sturgill Simpson character. I think it's Evan, maybe? Drew. That's what it is. Drew.
The one
that was like in love with the AI.
The robot. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I did like that little kind of side quest part of it. Again, just kind of showing that in this world, like, you know, it is possible to actually love the AI in the world.
Well, and I also think that that character there is just also to serve like Josh, because he knew this guy as a hard nose, like robots are robots, they're not humans.
Right. Like when he tells him, like, don't go native.
5 years later. Yeah. Don't go native. And then 5 years later, he is like, he just thinks of AI as people, right. You know? And it's like, so for Josh, he sees that and it like starts making him think about it. Kind of like I was saying earlier, to where he's ready to hear that AI did not blow up LA, you know?
Yep.
And so I agree. I think that was cool. It was an interesting character, but as soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, that dude's dead. That guy's gonna die. And then he did die.
Yeah.
Most of this movie was pretty predictable. I will say I was surprised by when they climb the mountain to see her and she is still alive, but in a coma.
Right.
And he has to pull the cord on her there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa, that was not what I was expecting. I honestly thought she would be there, or maybe like her brain would be there, but she wouldn't be.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I thought maybe her consciousness would be there, which I guess it did kind of end up being eventually like that anyways.
Yeah, but at least they had that wrinkle in there where he wasn't getting that. And it delayed it to where I thought, okay, he may never get that. And then when that machine comes out, I'm like, oh, okay, there we are.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
exactly
how it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Was there anything else that, another weird thing is they had so many scenes of this AI eating and drinking.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Which that's the thing I liked about it is.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is part of stuff. All this stuff I'm saying I liked because it was making me think about, like, I was in the movie.
Because I like that from them, like, trying to mimic human actions.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like when they're on the boat and, you know, the like AI just got like his arm up, you know, just like chilling on it.
Yeah.
Or it's like whenever the one is just like smoking in the,
yes,
in, like, the town.
He was a cool character.
So yeah, just kind of like stuff like the AI, it's like trying to, you know, mimic like the human actions and like recreating all of that.
Mm-hmm. Did you like the ending?
I mean, I liked, I guess, in terms of the story and where the story was, I mean, I didn't think it was a bad ending. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it was obviously triumphant in the way of we got to watch, you know, Nomad come down and kind of the victory for the AI characters,
but, mm-hmm,
which in a real world sense, I don't know if I necessarily like that victory for some more from other reasons outside of the movie, but within the movie context, I thought the ending was all right, if not, you know, very predictable.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. It was my least favorite part of the movie. I felt pretty unsatisfied. I don't know. Because there's like so many questions still up in the air. Like, I feel like the ending.
I'd agree with that.
Like, the narrative doesn't quite deliver on all these questions we're talking about.
No. Not you know, at all.
It's like it introduces this really cool world and like this really like thought provoking atmosphere and situation, but like their end goal is to blow up the giant ship, and then they do it, and it's like, and the whole time I was confused on the plan. I was like, what is the plan exactly?
Yeah,
they get on the ship, they blow it up, but it's like she could just turn it off, right? Can't she just turn it off? And then if they do that, there's just like a. What can she do? What can't she do? How close does she have to be? Like, that was one of the things I didn't like about the movies. Just the ending felt anticlimactic to what they'd set up in the movie, which was so interesting to me. It was still like very, the action was good. And I had I was watching it with Spencer, who couldn't join us for the podcast, unfortunately. Shout out to Spencer. But he said he did not like the end where Josh meets his wife, and the first thing they do in the field is kiss as the thing goes down. He's like, that felt so cliche and movie, and like, he didn't like it. To me, that was that was probably my favorite part of the whole ending, because like, I was not on, like, I didn't like much of it at all. But the idea that the whole time all he was asking for is just like one more moment with his wife, you know, and then he gets that as he's going down, and it's like she gets to see him. Maybe I don't quite understand the idea of her brain being in that robot.
No,
because they don't really flesh that out either. But just the idea of him seeing AI finally the way that she saw it. And then also I thought, you know, if I hadn't seen my wife for 5 years, I thought she was dead. The first thing I do when I see her would be kiss, especially if I was going down. So like, you say more with a kiss than you do with words. So I was okay with that. I kind of liked the end of that.
I mean, I guess it was really cliche, but also so was like really the entire movie. So...
I didn't think it was that cliche. No, I don't know. Maybe it was. Talking about the writing, right? A lot of it was on the nose for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't mind. I guess the rest of it, though, we just like. Yeah, you can get into it. Yeah.
Man, again, you know, I can't praise the visuals enough, but the writing, I thought the writing was very bad.
Bad, huh? You think it was bad?
The more I think about it, the worse the movie gets in my mind sometimes.
Yeah.
Just because, again, the timing of this movie is interesting. To have a movie that is basically pro AI, and now I get it, it's like, this is kind of different, obviously, than the AI we have right now. But, like, you know, the writers just got out of a strike that was huge and kind of holding back AI in the entertainment industry. And the actors are fighting for that right now. And so to have this movie come out and it be basically pro AI and funded by Disney, I was just like, What is this trying to get towards here? Like, what is the writing of this? And even more to that, I'm a big Rogue One guy. And, you know, I'll say that I think Rogue One is the best Star Wars movie that's come out in the last 10 years, 10, 15 years, maybe. And, you know, what's kind of famous, what happened where, you know, Gareth Edwards was kind of brought in to, you know, direct it and did a lot of that. And then they kind of got rid of Gareth Edwards, like, majorly through the movie. And
yeah, his name's on it, but he's like, I don't really claim a lot of that movie. I think a lot of the visuals are his, but a lot of the writing isn't. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, the writing is Tony Gilroy, which if you know who Tony Gilroy is, you know, this kind of claimed screenwriter. He's done a lot of good movies. And then Andor comes out. Mm. Yeah, and he does Andor, and Gareth Edwards doesn't do it. And Andor, I think, is just...
best Star Wars. I would say it's my favorite Star Wars since Disney took over.
It's, I mean, masterful stuff. Like, it's the only time that, you know, Star Wars has really been considered, like high art by
prestige.
Mostly everyone. Yeah. It's like, you know it's good when, you know, people who aren't big Star Wars fans are kind of...
It's the only Star Wars show my wife has watched.
And there you go. Exactly. I mean, it's great. And so it's kind of... I saw a lot of where both of them kind of... their styles kind of mashed in Rogue One. I think for Gareth Edwards in the future, I think he should direct. I think he's a really good director, and I think he should help kind of come up with these original ideas and kind of create these worlds. Because also, if you've seen his movie Monsters, like, it's, you know, it's also an original idea. And, you know, there's some really interesting stuff in that too. But man, I think he has got to bring in maybe a little bit better screenwriter.
Do you have any examples? Because like, it was cliche, but I never felt like it was bad writing. I've seen movies with bad writing. I think even some of the Star Wars, the new Star Wars, has bad writing. But this, I felt like there weren't huge plot holes, really. The biggest issue I had with the writing was the on the nose talking about like heaven. And honestly, that was really just one scene. And then also her not being able to, there was kind of more the plot than the writing, but not really describing exactly her power set.
Right. Like what exactly she can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's one of those movies that now there are certain movies that are supposed to leave you, like you're supposed to leave the theater kind of questioning and being like, you know, movies that you can kind of go back and rewatch and, you know, they leave you with kind of these, you know, big questions and stuff. And this kind of has that, but also, like you said, with like the plot of it all, like the plot leaves way more questions than answers really at all. And like, I have way more questions about this world, about the characters within it that I didn't.
About the outcome of what just happened.
Right. That, yeah. I don't feel like it even was close to fleshed out. And there's a lot of, I don't know. It's a lot of just super, again, cliche. And you know, you got the lone wolf and cub kind of stuff going on. And again, there's a lot of visual stuff that, you know, I've never seen before, but writing wise, everything is there is absolutely nothing new about it.
Yeah, man. I don't know though. All those ideas I introduced there. I mean, I've never seen a robot being built at a factory with workers who didn't seem to grasp what they were even doing, you know, or I think the idea of, you're right. They don't really dive into it. Mm-hmm. But just the idea of the U.S. government fight against the AI and how two sides of the world take different stances. And it's like, well, if I was living in the United States, of course I would take the side of humans because I just saw a nuke go off in L.A. And,
right.
You know, it's like pretty clear that AI did it. Even AI doesn't deny it. They just deny that it was their fault.
Right.
You know, and it's like, okay, of course, then you would have us take that side. And then in Asia, they're seeing this AI that is like basically sentient humans. And it's like, of course they would take their side. You know, to me, that is like an interesting thought that I've never thought of like, it wouldn't be humans versus AI. It would be countries fighting over what's the best way to deal with AI.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a movie that does that?
I mean, I don't think so necessarily in that way. But again, it goes back to how this movie handles AI.
Yeah, it doesn't handle it very well in the sense of like it takes a side.
Right, it definitely takes exactly. A side. It's almost like to the point where like I wish it just didn't like it didn't call it AI, you know? Because then at the point when they're calling it AI, then we have to
you put your own preconceived idea
right exactly.
Of what AI
and we have
is.
To put in like as if this is foretelling of because I mean, what is it set in like 2065? Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, they're calling it AI, and it's almost as if this is forecasting, like, the future of AI. But like you were saying, it's like...
It's not.
At this point, in our understanding of it, this is not even conceivable for us to achieve AI with human emotions. And I don't know. It's just, there's so much of the writing of it where it's like, it's interesting, but also it's not going to play out like this. And...
Right, which is why I don't think it's that harmful. Like, it sounds like you think, like, this is kind of a harmful thing, but I don't think this was meant to be taken as, like, here's the future, you know, like hey, be kind to these AI robots that are about to be in this world. I just don't think it's trying to be realistic in that sense.
It might not be, but also, I think it is trying to portray that by portraying, you know, like, it feels like we're saying, it feels like a real world, like, I think
it feels like a real world with totally fake situations. Like if you hadn't told me this was Earth, I would have never thought it was Earth, you know, and I wouldn't. And like you said, if it wasn't called AI, I don't know if I would consider it AI because it's like, okay, AI is just artificial intelligence.
Right.
But this is like human, like these are humans have created sentient beings, but then I wouldn't have necessarily called them AI.
Yeah. And that's my thing is I don't think they should have called it AI at all. Again, because, like, I mean, once you get into AI, you put it in the not-so-distant future.
Yeah.
You set it on Earth with, you know, I don't necessarily know what New Asia is supposed to represent, whether it's supposed to be kind of like China or something else along those lines. I know it's not set in China, but whether it's representing China or not in that world.
Right.
And then, like, I don't know, it feels as if, to me, it feels like it's trying to forecast the future in a way. Huh. And it's trying to say, like, this is where we could be, you know, 30 years from now.
Yeah, I did not get that at all. I just thought it was, I mean, I don't know. I don't like movies where humans are the bad guys, but in this movie, humans weren't the bad guys. It kind of was the Americans, but even then, like, your main hero is an American who just has a change of heart.
Right.
You know.
And I'll say, I'm a sucker for movies where humans are the bad guys.
You like humans being bad guys?
Oh, yeah.
You love Avatar?
I love the Avatar movies. I think those are great.
See, I feel like the writing in this is on par, if not better, than the Avatar movies.
I don't know. One, I think Avatar visually is better than this.
Well, yes, but it's also a little more expensive.
Yeah, that is very true. Exactly. But,
and I think if you put these, if you took someone, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago, and you just brought them these two movies side by side, I think they would say Avatar was better, but it would be something they would have to think about, you know? I think he does such a good job. Is like, this movie looks real and good, and the difference is like, they create a whole world in Avatar, which is another argument, I guess, but...
So, here's what I would say is the difference. Avatar, I think the second one is actually really well written. A lot of stuff, but the first one I do think
it's a lot of cliches also.
Yeah, the first one is a little bit more cliche and a little bit different, but I still, here's my difference.
Man, overall, I wish that I had you on our Avatar 2 conversation.
I find this script and the writing, again, visually, I really like it.
Yeah.
I find the script, the dialogue, the writing extremely boring in this movie.
And, really?
Yeah, and I liked a lot of Avatar more.
Interesting. Yeah, I would have to disagree. I think I like the writing in this better than Avatar, but I don't dislike Avatar. So, right. Like, I think these movies are on par Avatar-wise, like, dialogue-wise and plot-wise.
Right.
And I think I like them for the same reasons, too, as the visuals and the setting and the atmosphere. Avatar's shinier, but that's all.
Yeah.
That's about all. All right. Well, you said you would recommend it just on the basis of that. You still would recommend it? You would say,
oh, yeah. Like I said, I'm very negative about the writing.
You said you have you gave it a 3 out of 5, so you do the 5-star rating.
Yeah. Hey, I'm on Letterboxd, man. Hop on.
Letterboxd. Okay. Should we link your Letterboxd in the in the description?
Hey, why not?
All right. But there's your plug.
My one social media that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would still recommend it, of course. I mean, like I said, a 3 out of 5 is a good rating. I think it's a pretty decent movie. And I have these complaints about the writing of it, but ultimately I still liked it.
Yeah.
I still have to recommend it to people because it's impressive, it's original, and you're going to see things that you've never seen in a movie before. And, you know, and sometimes it's all you need from a movie.
I like it. All right, well, thank you all for listening. Give us those 5 stars, and see ya.